This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Adrian Peterson was not on the radar, I'd say, for about, an hour ago, but it happened. Adrian Peterson, we talked about on the show last week. He was on our radar. We talked about Adrian Peterson coming to the Cardinals last week with Peter King a week ago. And Peter weighed in on it then, and this morning Peter's going to weigh in on the news of the day, even the news superseding what happened with the Diamondbacks last night. We'll get into that. Well, Peter King in about 15 minutes. Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network for you fantasy football guys. I'm sure he's got some thoughts on Adrian Peterson. He will come up at 10:50 this morning. So, yeah, Adrian Peterson traded to the Cardinals. The Cardinals haven't released anything as official as of yet, if you're into that sort of thing. On the surface, you look at it and say, Adrian Peterson, Larry Fitzgerald, Carson Palmer, Chris Johnson. Eric, that's a really good team in 2010.
Exactly.
In 2010.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to fault Steve Keim on this, because what it says to me is we have to do something here because what we presently have in the backfield, and you can talk all day long about how bad the offensive line has been, and it's been bad, but it's not going to go away. Okay, I'd rather see a team give up a conditional pick, which is nothing. If we're sitting here today saying you guys gave up a third-round pick for this, are you kidding me? Are you joking? If they gave up a real hard asset to get Adrian Peterson, I'd say that's crazy, because we all know what's going on here. This is it. And it was it 2 years ago from my point of view, but they've tried to stretch this thing out with Carson and Larry and Bruce and all that.
My glass half full approach,
yeah, sure,
says maybe Adrian Peterson has a little bit left in the tank to improve the league's worst rushing offense, which is averaging barely over 50 yards a game. My glass half empty approach says an older running back going to a team loaded with offensive line issues already,
yeah,
is a recipe for disaster.
But what's their option?
I agree with you. I applaud Steve Keim. It's almost no risk and
none,
potentially not high reward, but at least decent reward on the back end if they can keep AP healthy and if he can at least be a bell cow back that can get some tough yards up the middle and at least keep defenses somewhat honest. And
I think, a lot of at least.
But I think also, Brad, something that no one's really talking about.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson should be able to help in pass protection as well. He's a bigger back. He's much bigger than Chris Johnson. He's much bigger than Kerwin Williams. Okay. He's much bigger than Andre Ellington. Just secondary stuff I was thinking about after this trade went
but
down.
At this point, as bad as things have been,
it can't get any worse.
With Carson getting whacked around. And look, guys, I know people don't want to hear this. They're just a game back in a division where everybody's not very good. Okay? I mean, Seattle is a catch away in the end zone on a ball that's right in the Rams receiver from this thing being turned in a different direction. So, you know, I'm not going to be one of those guys that sits here, because it's really easy to sit behind a microphone and say this team blows and it's just a bunch of old dudes coming in. It's really easy to say that. But you're not even into mid-October yet. And you're in a division that's winnable if you just can figure some things out. This isn't a cure-all, because the special teams are horrendous again. And defensively, they're giving up big plays again. So there's a lot here to fix. But at running back, I'd rather see them roll the dice on Adrian Peterson in the middle of the season then sit there and see the same old stuff every single week. Because you can't fix that. The offensive line, you can say all day long, well, DJ Humphreys practice, he's limited. All that stuff is just noise. All of it. DJ Humphreys has not been consistent since he's been here. That's a fact. Okay? Trying to go out and patchwork a line together at this point in time of the season is really hard to do. But anybody's going to say, well, it's just a failed attempt. This is Emmett Smith all over again. I got some of that sent to me. I'll talk to Peter about it. Well, Peter King here in about 9 minutes and get his view on it. Fabiano comes up at 10:50 on the Fantasy Football Focus. If you have questions for Michael, you can always shoot them over to me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat and or at Sports360AZ. So that's the big story here on a Tuesday. How much is he going to play this weekend against Tampa Bay? When will we really see Adrian Peterson come all together, or is it already over with? Are we going to see something that's just sad? Nobody likes seeing an aging superstar that has nothing left in the gas tank and they just get the snot kicked out of them. They do. That's not fun. I can go over to Steve Nash in his final days with the Suns. That wasn't fun. Emmett Smith wasn't fun. It was a target on him. It just didn't work out. And I can go through offensive players, defensive players, doesn't matter what sport. When they're done and they try and hang in there, it's painful. So he comes here having had less than 30 carries with the Saints. So what does that tell you? You know, were they just going to sit on him and say, look, we are going to save you for later in the season because we really believe in what you can bring us later in the year. This is the war of attrition. We've talked about this repeatedly, that in the NFL, you can sit there all day long and play fantasy football in May about how great your team's going to be. These players are getting grounded into the dust, chewed up, spit out, and they're beat up, banged up, and they're gone by the time you get to mid-November into December. It is a war of attrition. So do the Cardinals immediately put him out there and have him carry the ball 15 to 20 times this week against Tampa Bay? I don't know that. I do know that I do like this move because you tell me, smart guy, you tell me, what are you going to do? Okay, there is nothing you can do at this point in time of the season other than try to go get somebody. You know, the David Johnson injury, clearly when you look at the running back, the depth of running back, where they had to go re-sign Chris Johnson and bring him back off the scrap heap, they missed. It's a fact. They didn't have it figured out. It happens in the NFL. Robert Kimdiche, they've missed so far. DJ Humphries, they've missed so far. Got a hit on these guys. Adrian Peterson, I don't know if it's a miss or a hit, but I do know this, two overtime wins over two teams that aren't very good, and yet the Cardinals are sitting there just a game back in the division. I mean, you have to do something. So I'm applauding this move rather than sitting there on their hands and just saying, oh, you know, all is lost. Nothing good's going to happen. People are going to rip on us. So what? You know, so what? I'm going to get more into this with Peter in a bit, but I do want to get over to some other things. I had a family situation last night. My wife broke her wrist yesterday afternoon about 4:30. So you get a phone call, and you're doing your thing, and it's your wife, and she's crying, and she's going to meet you at the emergency room. And so you go there, and you're trying to be focused on, I don't know if you guys have been to an emergency room or not in last year, two, three. Eric, when was the last time you were in an ER?
For myself or for someone else?
Anybody.
Last December.
Yeah?
My wife had a little surgery, so.
Yeah? So she had a ring on, and they had to take like a piece of, like, dental floss to get her ring off yesterday. And it was a pretty nasty. When I got there, her wrist was like in a different, it was north rather than south. Okay.
Physicians are probably pretty good at that because they probably encounter that more often than you and I would think.
No, and they handled it. And
yeah.
I'm sitting there like she's screaming. So my thought of being at the game last night, which I was supposed to be at the game last night, didn't happen.
As a fan?
As a fan, yes.
Nice.
I was going to go last night. And I had an opportunity to go, and I was going to go. I felt like, you know, don't need to have the cred. You can sit out in the stands and have a good time. So that at 4:30 changed dramatically. Obviously, that's 100 times more important than a baseball game. But I did make it back with her in time to sit and watch the game last night and take it in last night. And, you know, Greinke just drives me nuts. You can easily make the argument of having Zach Greinke here because of what his contract value is and that nobody's going to take him off of your hands unless they pick up a significant amount of it. Last night and the game against Colorado, this is why you get paid the $30 million plus dollars, okay? This was not Randy Johnson, and this was not Curt Schilling. Those are my points of reference when it comes to big games. And unfortunately for Zach Greinke, in both games, when it really mattered, and even down the stretch, he was not great. But in both games, this was not a $30 million a year pitcher. It wasn't a $20 million a year pitcher. This was not the front end of a rotation of a team that is going to go to the World Series. Now, that said, did he have a very good regular season? Sure he did. But you get judged off of what you do in postseason. In my book, okay, Paul Goldschmidt had a great regular season. Did he have a great postseason? He had some big hits. He had some big hits for sure. Did J.D. Martinez have a great – did anybody on the organizational side have a great postseason that they can look at top to bottom and say, against the Rockies and against the Dodgers, I played my best baseball? Did it look like a team that was scared? I think it was, a young team. And that happens. I have to accept that.
It's hard to win a series when you never lead a game in the series. The Dodgers were the better team coming into this. The Dodgers proved they were the better team. Circling back on Greinke, you have to give LA a lot of credit for their approach last night. They laid off all those borderline pitches in the first two innings. Greinke's pitch count was in the 50s going into the third inning. That right there, Brad, is a recipe for disaster, because you know Torey Lovullo probably wanted to go Greinke, Bradley, Rodney, because there aren't a lot of dependable arms in the middle reliever situations. And when
Chafin, I'll take Chafin.
Yeah, Chafin, yeah. I'll take Chafin
against the lefty. Put Chafin against Bellinger, and Bellinger doesn't hit it out of the park.
He's a situational guy, but he's been effective. But, I mean, the thinking was, okay, if we can get Zach to get to the sixth, maybe the seventh, and then bridge it to Rodney with the lead. And you could just tell after the first two innings, when Greinke's pitch count was already in the 50s, that that was not going to be the case.
You don't bring him back out after you cut the gap in the very next inning. Boom.
One batter too late.
Lovullo this season had a hook that drove some fans crazy. And I'm like, okay, I get what he's doing here. He's trying to conserve. He just wants to get those 21 outs, that whole mantra. Okay, I'm fine with that. But it did look like a team that just wasn't ready for the white hot spotlight. It just didn't. And so now they're in a spot where you've got this, you can easily make the argument, look, Greinke, Ray, go down the list. We're going to keep everything intact. We'll get Shelby Miller back next year. Patrick Corbin never saw the light of day. I don't know when Patrick Corbin's time with the Diamondbacks is going to come to an end. I don't know that. But I would think if his time comes to a spot where he could make a choice to leave or not, given how he was treated, I don't know about him. If it's me and I'm not out there once to help out, then how much confidence do you really have? And if it's all about computer-driven, Pedro was with us yesterday for a weekly segment with Pedro Gomez, and he said a lot of what was going on in this postseason was computer-generated. It wasn't Torey Lovullo. A lot of it was the computer saying, this is what you have to do. So, look, I'll get further into this, but I've got Peter standing by. We'll get to Peter King next via Skype on Adrian Peterson coming to the Arizona Cardinals. We'll get the MMQB's thoughts. That's next. If you're just joining us, Adrian Peterson coming to the Arizona Cardinals, the big story of the day. And to give us more reaction on that, as always, Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback on AP, coming to the Cardinals. Peter joins us every week. Peter, what do you make out of this?
That's probably really smart and good for both teams. It makes a lot of sense. It really makes a lot of sense. And that having said that, I have no idea what he's got left. And especially, what does he have left behind an offensive line that is not a great run-blocking line, as shown by the last 3 weeks? But I think it's a good move. I think it's a good move for both teams. Adrian Peterson was going to become a problem, in my opinion, if he stayed in New Orleans. I think it's a very good move. Now, again, I don't think this solves much. You know, the Cardinals are one of the worst running teams in the league right now. But it's better than standing pat.
Okay, so the report is a conditional draft pick that the Saints have traded Adrian Peterson to the Arizona Cardinals. Behind this offensive line that has been anemic at best, is completely banged up with injuries. can Adrian Peterson give them anything at all?
I mean, I think the big question about Adrian Peterson right now is a very simple one. And that is, okay, so he hasn't run the ball either very much or very well. And if you think about what Adrian Peterson, what he is at this point in his life, he's a 30-year-old running back who essentially in this period of time, this year, has been the third running back on this team. And I put him behind Alvin Kamara because they've given Kamara an awful lot of chances in the passing game. And Adrian Peterson's touched the ball so far this year. And I mean, this is grim. Four games, he's touched the ball 29 times. Mm-hmm. So clearly, you know, Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael, the play caller, you know, they got Mark Ingram, they have Alvin Kamara, and they've got Adrian Peterson, who hasn't shown them anywhere what they have wanted to see. He's a distant third in effectiveness in the running game. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I like the fact that the Cardinals haven't been standing pat, and they've been working on trying to do something. So coming out of their bye, let's see what they can do.
Biggest question around Adrian Peterson now being traded to the Arizona Cardinals, according to reports, is does he have anything left in the gas tank? I don't know that. Can you make any judgment off that? The people you've talked to, does Adrian Peterson bring anything to the Arizona Cardinals other than a big name at the end of his career, like when Emmitt Smith came here, by example?
Well, the Emmitt Smith thing was a little bit different because Emmitt Smith did have some very good days for the Cardinals. Not a lot of them, but he had some good days. I don't know if Adrian Peterson can, especially behind that line. I mean, you know, Brad, you've watched it five games now. And when you watch the Arizona Cardinals right now, and you watch them gaining whatever 2.5 a carry, whatever the number is, it's under 3 yards a carry, you have to ask yourself, does it matter who's carrying the ball? And what would have happened if David Johnson had stayed healthy? He was off to a slow start, but I mean, I'm not going to judge him on 10 or 15 carries, whatever he had. So I look at this thing and I say, you don't know. Sean Payton, when I saw him in training camp, he thought that Adrian Peterson really looked good. He loved what he was bringing to the table. And then when the season started, he didn't use him. So, you know, we'll see. But I think it's good that they're not standing pat.
Does this inject life into a locker room that has been lifeless and listless? Bruce Arians fell on the sword, Peter, and said it was all on him in the three phases after the loss to the Eagles. Does Adrian Peterson coming to Arizona now inject some life into this team?
I don't know. I don't know if that matters. I think that's a little bit of that's a nice thing to say, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't see, you know, the only thing that's going to matter. I mean, Derek Jeter always used to say this when everybody said, well, you're a great leader. What do you say to your team? And he basically says, I don't really say anything. I lead by example, and I come in and I work my rear end off, and I show up every day ready to play. I'm not a drug alcohol abuser, so I'm giving you everything I have every day. And that to me is leadership. And to me, I look at it and I say that I don't know that anything Adrian Peterson is going to say or do is going to change many things right now. But I do think that having him on the team is going to say to the people in that locker room, hey, listen, they're trying. They're trying to turn this thing around. We're 2-3, but our schedule is eminently doable. Mm-hmm. And we can win games. I mean, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. In the middle of the third quarter against Dallas, I thought, hey, the Cardinals are going to win this game, or at the very least, this is a coin flip game. So that's why I think that, hey, don't give up on this season. They look terrible. Don't give up on this season, and they clearly haven't.
Yeah, a drop pass in the end zone in the Rams-Seahawks game, and the division looks completely different. And as you and I are sitting here today talking, they're still just one game out of first place. I guess Larry Fitzgerald, Carson Palmer, Arians all being tied together. This, to me, says, yes, we're going for it. We understand we've got some weakness in losing David Johnson. But I'd say this is a solid move by Steve Keim today, Peter. I can't fight this. I can't say anything negative about this.
It'd be one thing if they traded a three for him, but
yeah.
probably this is, you know, a conditional based on how many yards he gains the rest of the year or how many games he's active or something like that. But it's probably nothing better than like a six or a seven. And so, look, I agree with you. I think it shows that they're not, they're not giving in on this season. They look at their schedule and they say, we can definitely win games, and we're going to try everything we can to salvage this season.
Peter, appreciate the time and the visit and the breaking news. Thanks.
Okay, take care, Brad.
There's Peter King with us, the Monday Morning Quarterback. You can check out all of his content at mmqb.com. Appreciate Peter King and his time. Again, the Saints trade Adrian Peterson, according to numerous reports now, to the Cardinals for a conditional draft pick. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So the Cardinals sent out a release that it's official on the Adrian Peterson front. He will practice with the team tomorrow, and we'll speak after the game is over, or after practice is over tomorrow. So Adrian Peterson officially comes to the Arizona Cardinals. We put a flash poll up over on at Sports360AZ on Twitter, and I'll check that here in a bit. Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network comes up in 14 minutes. I don't know how many of you guys are going to want to add Adrian Peterson to your fantasy football team, but every Tuesday we go right to the NFL Network. They join us, as does Peter King, every week. If you're finding us for the first time, we're here Monday through Friday, Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our show airs on AZ Central every day as well at the same time as Sports 360. If you go over to our website, sports360az.com, you will find a lot of content. It's a little bit different than what everyone else is doing out there. Just we see things a little deeper, a little deeper. That's the best way to put it. We're not Walmart. We're Sprouts and Whole Foods. That's how I like to describe it. So you can check it out over there at sports360az.com. Tomorrow we'll have Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst, with us on ASU in Washington, and we'll talk more about the Diamondbacks tomorrow as well. Thursdays, we always go to Las Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, all the lines, and Bill Goodykoontz from the Republic, AZ Central's Bill Goodykoontz. We talk movies because guys got to have a life outside of sports. You know, the Adrian Peterson thing, if it were 2009, 2010, 2011, this would be much bigger news. Like, on the news side of this, there's going to be stuff probably done on Adrian Peterson and what happened off the field in Minnesota that's going to be part of the narrative around him. There's going to be how his relationship with Larry Fitzgerald may have, in fact, played a role in him coming here. I'm sure that's going to be talked about some because of Fitz's closeness to the Minneapolis area and Adrian. So I'm sure there was some of that. Did Larry Fitzgerald have any role in this at all? Larry Fitzgerald would say, oh, no, I didn't have any role in this at all. Okay. Steve Keim, I give Steve Keim a ton of credit for going out and making a move today. So far, it's been met with a lot of cynicism. I look around on social media in the last hour since this story's come out. It's been met with a lot of cynicism. Peter and I talked about Adrian Peterson a week ago coming to the Cardinals, and he had intimated at the time that it would be a very smart move for them, that things were not going AP's way down with the Saints. And so how many carries is he going to get this weekend behind an offensive line? Will fans flock to get an Adrian Peterson jersey? I don't know. Does this do anything at all to get the fan base excited? Because let's be honest, after the showing on Sunday in Philadelphia, it's hard for me to drive up here to the studio in Scottsdale with all the bandwagon jumpers, broken ankles, and broken legs all over the place. There are not very many people that have stuck with this team as poorly as they've shown. And that's just the way it is here in Arizona. This is a flash in the pan. At the end of the year, you'll end up going through the process of, does Carson want to stick around for this? Does Larry want to stick around for this? Is Bruce going to be here at the end of the year? Is Adrian going to be? All of this stuff is, you look at the roster next year and a couple of those people, I can't imagine that Carson Palmer would want to come back here and be part of this. the way he's just gotten the tar beat out of him. And he's still being somewhat productive. I think beyond that, if you look at Carson Palmer, what I hear around town, what I see on message boards, what fans send me letters is, it's time to have the young new face. This picked up considerable traction after watching Carson Wentz tear apart the Cardinals' defense. I would maintain if the Cardinals' offensive line were adequate, that Carson Palmer would be able to do a little bit more. It's not all on him. Carson Palmer wasn't out there blowing coverages. Carson Palmer wasn't out there on special teams allowing big plays. I mean, Carson Palmer, everybody wants to blame the quarterback, and you have to look at the whole body of work. Facts are, though, there comes this time of fatigue factor with quarterbacks that have been around the NFL. It just happens where fans grow tired of it. Fans want to see Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or fill in the blank. They can look at Deshaun Watson and what's going on down in Houston and say, why did they waste all that money on Brock Osweiler? And look at what Deshaun Watson's doing down there. We need the next Deshaun Watson. Look at what Marcus Mariota's doing in Tennessee with the Titans, even though he's hurt this week. Oh, if Andrew Luck's not happening in Indianapolis, maybe he can come here. I get all that stuff. But be careful what you wish for, because you could be the Jets and run through 10 guys. Let's not forget, before Carson Palmer got here, for those of you that just want to rant on him, the string of quarterbacks between Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer, it's not pretty. It wasn't fun. And, you know, Adrian Peterson, I get a couple people send me notes, well, what happens when David Johnson comes back? Well, what are you talking about? David Johnson should not come back this season if this continues on its current trajectory. The thought of him coming back in mid-December, if this team is sitting there with four wins, come on, you shut him down. It's a no-brainer. Over on the Diamondback side, let's swing back over to that for a bit. So they're going to clean out their lockers today, and Mike Hazen and Torey Lovello are going to meet with the media at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So what's going to come out of this? I don't know how specific Mike Hazen's going to be. Mike Hazen has not said much this year. He's kind of just done his thing. He's let Lovello go out and be the face. You don't hear from the GM very much on this one. And the big question will be J.D. Martinez. And the answer will be, we hope to do everything possible to bring J.D. back here. The answer is not going to be, no, we're not bringing him back. We wish him well. It's been a good run. He was a rent-a-player, and that's it. So today's going to be very vague. There's already several baseball people whose opinions I respect on a national space that write that have suggested that the Giants are going to go after Giancarlo Stanton. I bring up him not from a positional standpoint, but I bring up the number of salary that could switch from one team to the next, okay? And you look at the players that are of star value, and you look at the Diamondbacks' situation, and you can tie them all together, okay? How good of a player is J.D. Martinez, really? He's been awesome. He's been terrific. I would pay him whatever. You could think that. No, that's not how it works in professional sports. It works that way for sitting at the bar. It's all well and good, but it's not reality. So you have Paul Goldschmidt a couple of years away. They still control him with a below-market contract that they have not addressed. He's changed agents in the last year. I think he's gearing up to look at this thing and say, okay, what direction are we going to go? You have J.D. Martinez. J.D.'s going to hit the open market here in 3 weeks. You have Yasmani Tomas's contract, which nobody wants to talk about, but it's an albatross around this organization's neck. So much so, they're going to have to give up something of substance along with Yasmani to get him out of here. You can't just keep writing checks for mistakes. Or you can't just keep writing checks for the sake of writing checks and get the, well, they're not committed to winning, because they're committed to winning. Come on. Anybody's going to use that, well, they're not committed to winning. That's just not paying attention here. They threw this huge number at Greinke, responsibly or irresponsibly. It doesn't matter. They got him here. As much as I'm not big on him in his postseason and how he performed, because he didn't perform anywhere near close a first starter at the top of the rotation. He wasn't Curt Schilling, and he wasn't Randy Johnson, and he wasn't even close. He was between April and September. It's not going to get it done here. I'm about winning titles. I'm not about having nice regular seasons. not about beat LA and all that stuff. You just go do it. You don't need to chant it. Just do it. This whole inferiority complex to LA. So what if they won this series? They're a better team by a long ways. Get some grit. I think this team needs a little bit more grit. You know, I'm getting fans that are sending me notes. Why is Goldschmidt over there talking and yucking it up with players during games? I don't want to see that anymore. You know, one way they could go on this, it's a way that would not be popular at all here in Arizona. But remember, the current organization, the current front office, doesn't have really a tie to Paul Goldschmidt. His deal may come down the line. They may say, you know what, we're not going to be able to keep all these guys, and we're better off moving one of them and keeping one that we probably can't afford if we keep Goldschmidt and keep Greinke and keep Tomas. There's no reason to keep Tomas, but getting him out of here, that's going to be another issue. So you go up and down the roster, and between just Greinke and Goldschmidt and JD, and I was talking to Pedro about this last couple weeks on our weekly segment. He's thinking $25 million, $20 to $25 million for JD Martinez. Okay. $20, $25 million for JD Martinez. Let's just look at Goldschmidt and the number and the trajectory he's going. That's going to be around $25 million. And then you look at Zach Greinke and that $33 million that's staring you down the barrel. So let's just do the math here. 20 and 25. Let's go conservative. 20 and 25. We're at 45. And then add 33. We're at $78 million with three guys. In a stadium that very seldom gets filled to the rim. In a market where there's lots of things to do here. If the Cardinals don't get Adrian Peterson, it's going to inject some interest in them. Fans will just move on. And so there's going to be that really interesting dynamic here for this organization to take the tact of, we've decided we're going to keep everybody. Or we're going to have to let somebody go. And if JD leaves, that's the first step. The next step is you got to get Paul Goldschmidt extended then, because you can't let him get into his free agent. You can't do that. And then you have to look at Greinke's deal and say, are we better off moving him because we can get a king's ransom for him now here in this offseason? It'll be really fun. This will be a fun offseason because I like what Hazen has done. People said, why is Descalzo out there playing and not Drew? Are you kidding me? Postseason, just look at the numbers. There are numbers guys here. Michael Fabiano's next from the NFL Network. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now we go to the NFL Network studios where it is Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, everything around the fantasy football front. Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, with us. Adrian Peterson comes to Arizona. Shake up the fantasy world, or... What, are you kidding me? I mean, what do you make out of this, Michael?
Well, it's a good trade from a fantasy perspective, and I think it's mostly beneficial to Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara because they've clearly been the two guys that the Saints are using in that backfield. And now Peterson goes from a situation where he was barely even seeing the football to where he instantly becomes a starter for the Cardinals. Now, with that being said, also keep in mind that Adrian Peterson is a 32-year-old running back who is now going to be playing behind an offensive line that has allowed the fewest yards per contact in the NFL. Okay, so that's not good. I don't see him coming in and being the Adrian Peterson from 3 years ago when he was the number one player in fantasy football. Is he worth a roster spot in fantasy leagues? I mean, absolutely he is. Is he a starter week in and week out? No, he's a matchup-based option. And until I see some production on a regular basis, which we haven't seen from Peterson in quite some time, I can't go out and tell people to pick him up and start him. I do think Andre Ellington will continue to be that pass-catching back. He's really gained a lot of steam in PPR leagues over the last few weeks, and I'm not sure that Arians is going to keep utilizing utilize Peterson as a complete featured back. I do think Ellington's still going to see his touches in the passing game, but it is an upgrade. I mean, it's certainly an upgrade, and I think, again, the biggest impact, though, is going to be felt in New Orleans, where Ingram is going to see more touches, and Kamara is clearly going to see more touches. And Kamara right now has been the best fantasy running back in New Orleans, especially after what he did before the bye there in London with 10 catches.
Okay, so if we're looking at just away from the Peterson thing, if we're looking around the league, everything I'm getting in the mailbag is about injuries.
That's not a surprise.
No, it's not. It's not. But it's everything is around how do I replace OBJ? Or is Ben – there's a little bit of Ben Roethlisberger today because he's talking about how he's not the quarterback he once was. And how could we have not given everybody the heads up on Deshaun Watson? I don't know why I should get banged on that or why you should get banged on that. Deshaun Watson's been great, but nobody saw this coming, right? So let's go through.
Well, I mean, I did tweet on August 1st that if there was a quarterback who would be this year's Dak, it would be Deshaun Watson.
But
to this level – no one predicted that. He's been tremendous.
Okay, OBJ, what do we do? And Brandon Marshall, too. So what makes sense of OBJ's injury?
Number one, I wish him the best. That was hard to watch.
Yeah.
I really felt bad for him because the injury was terrible, and to see him carted off the field in tears, you know, that was rough. And you can't replace him. He's one of the three or four best wide receivers in fantasy football. He has been ever since he's come, you know, into the NFL. You know, and it's tough when you have to talk about fantasy football after a guy suffers such a gruesome injury. But you know, this is what I do.
Yep.
And Will Fuller comes to mind as a potential waiver wire pickup. Jerron Brown, who Cardinals fans know very well, who's averaged right around 9 targets a game since week 2. He is someone that you can pick up off the waiver wire. Nelson Aguilar is another player. Devin Funchess is someone to pick up if you're sticking with the G-men. I don't think Sterling Shepard's available in most leagues, but you know, Roger Moore could be, and he is someone that you could potentially add, although this week they're playing the Broncos, so it's not someone you actually plug and play. But you are going to be hard-pressed to replace someone as good as Odell Beckham Jr.
The quarterback side, David Carr, getting a lot of questions about him.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at on Carr, and what do you see going on there with him?
Yeah, I mean, DC is going to play this week. I don't like the matchup particularly against the Chargers. He would probably end up being a guy that I'm starting sort of at the at the end of the QB ones. I have yet to do my rankings, but that's probably where he's going to end up this week. And his return is clearly good news for the Raiders' offensive skill position players. The one that we really need to watch is Amari Cooper, because he's disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
His targets are down. He's dropping passes. And since week one, he has been one of the biggest disappointments in fantasy football. So hopefully DC can come in and sort of, spark that offense, because it really has been less than stellar over the last couple of weeks, including the week that Derek got hurt in that Broncos game.
Michael Fabiano with us from the NFL Network. He takes on all questions, the Hall of Famer, including, should I pick up Mitchell Trubisky? I'm getting some of that today. Like,
you'd have to be in a very deep league or in a dynasty league, and in dynasty leagues, he's already owned for the most part. So, bad matchup coming up against the Ravens. Not somebody that I'm looking at right now. I mean, quarterback is so deep. I mean, it really is. When Jared Goff is putting up good numbers, although he didn't last week, but he's had 18-plus fantasy points in 2 of his last 3 games, the position is so ridiculously deep. At some point, if this continues, you're going to see fantasy owners not even draft a quarterback. I mean, once you get past the top 5 or 6 players, some people may be like, you know what? I'll wait and pick one up off the waiver wire, because you can really stream that position.
Yeah, where's Michael out on Ben Roethlisberger, getting some of that?
And I liked him last week because he was at home, and traditionally at home he's been tremendous, but it was a shock. If you had told me that Ben Roethlisberger was going to throw the ball 55 times and throw for over 300 yards, I would have taken that all day long. I would have never expected 5 interceptions from him, especially when the quarterback he was facing is the more turnover-prone of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But he's back on the road this week. So even if Roethlisberger threw 5 touchdowns last week, I wouldn't play him against the Chiefs. I just wouldn't do it. We've seen week in and week out, when he plays on the road, his numbers are not good. So that's something that fantasy owners need to keep tabs on. And if you are in a position where Roethlisberger's your QB2, and potentially there's a hot waiver wire ad, I wouldn't be completely against someone dropping Roethlisberger. You don't like to see a player put up that bad of a stat line at home. I know it's a tough defense, but Big Ben has had one decent fantasy performance all season long, and that was at home, and I believe he scored right around 18 fantasy points, which is good, but you're expecting more from Roethlisberger, especially when he's playing at Heinz Field.
All right, so you're on the borderline of dropping him, huh?
It depends on the size of your league, but in a 10-team league, I can obviously see him being released, and if someone out there needs to grab a quarterback off the waiver wire who's got a good matchup, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, for example, I could see people playing him. Trevor Siemian, I could see people playing him. And if you don't want to roster two quarterbacks, I could see a scenario where Roethlisberger gets dropped.
Okay, Andrew Luck, getting questions about him and how close?
Well, your guess is as good as mine there. It seems like every single week we get a message here, oh, Andrew Luck's been declared out. Andrew Luck's been declared out. It seems like he's getting closer. You would think that he would be back at some point in week 7, week 8, somewhere in that area. But this is something that your guess, again, is as good as mine. I have picked him up in leagues where I could use an upgraded quarterback, and I'm sort of stashing him, hoping that within the next 2 or 3 weeks he's back on the gridiron. Because once he is, you would expect him to put up some pretty decent numbers with the weapons that he has around him. But that all depends on whether or not you've got space on your roster. If your roster's solid and you don't really have a player that you're willing to release into the free agent pool, I would keep Luck on the waiver wire. But if you do need help at quarterback and you can sacrifice that roster spot for maybe another week or two, I would absolutely roster Luck.
Sounds good. Appreciate the time, Michael. Thanks.
You got it.
It was Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, right there at the NFL Network. Always good to catch up with Michael Fabiano. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. If you're just finding this show for the first time, we are here Monday through Friday. We do our thing live at 10 a.m. on both Sports360AZ.com and on AZ Central Sports. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings a week. Brad Sesmat, Football AZ, pro, college, high school football, all wrapped into 1 half hour within our great state of Arizona, into the art of storytelling. We're self-funded, so we appreciate our sponsors that have been with us for 6 years now. Appreciate all of their support. And thanks to you for being with us. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, as always, produces, and I'm Brad Sesmat. Have a great Tuesday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.